This morning, scripture reading be coming from Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. Again, that's Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. And it reads, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses hath commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him for their infirmities." I read to you Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. May the Lord add a blessing to hearers, readers, and doers of the word.
Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Good morning. It's certainly good to be here before you once again. As a fill-in for the duties of Brother Dismuth while he is away preaching the gospel in a gospel meeting. We'd certainly like to thank all of our visitors who've come our way today. And we hope that your visit will be pleasant. And anything you hear today, if you have any questions, we'll gladly try to answer those questions according to God's will at the end of the worship today, and to help you in your understanding of what thus saith the Lord, as well as our convictions and what we believe here at the Church of Christ. God is certainly good, church. Yes, he is. God is good. And I hope as a Christian, one who has obeyed the gospel and has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, we come to appreciate that. Especially as we have just observed the Lord's Supper and we reflect back on the cross of that vicarious death, how Jesus sacrificed himself and became the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. My friends, God is good. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all of his works. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Bible tells us, brethren, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 22, verse 23. Think about that just for the moment. When you got up and said your prayers this morning, God had in his mercy now grants us another opportunity to serve him on this beautiful Lord's Day. You know, we need to thank God for those who have labored in his vineyard, those who had loved him and who had come our way and took the time to share with us the precious gospel of Jesus. And that's why we're here today. Somebody taught us. And that's why we're in this great fellowship that we have here at the Newport News Church of Christ. And if you are a brother or sister visiting from another congregation, we're certainly glad to have you in our midst. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now. I just want us to ponder just for the moment and think about all the people who have been a part of our lives, who, as we sojourn here on this side of eternity, just think about the various influences that some people can have in our lives as they touch us in some special way. Think about your parents who reared and raised you. Think about the influence that they had. And what about your sisters, your brothers and sisters, your earthly family, and the influences that they had on you and your rearing up? Or what about your spouse, the one that you meet, your mate? And you know, your spouse has a lot of influence on you in this life. When you share life together in holy matrimony and a bond and a covenant relationship before Almighty God. And then there's your children. And then there's your best friend, whoever that might be. There may be a co-worker. There's a brother or sister in Christ you might be real close to that has a great influence on your life. And all of these fellowships are wonderful. It is beautiful when we can enjoy one another's fellowship. I thank God that he gave us that we are sociable beings.
And you know, it's sad when someone is lonely and they have no one that they can socialize with. I know of a couple of people that are lonely, and you can tell they're lonely. They tell you they enjoy being alone, but I don't know about that. Because when they come to work, they'll talk you to death. They ain't that. I don't know if they enjoy it that much. See, you got to have some output somewhere. They come to work, and we got to be their mama and their dad and their brother and their sister. And they got to tell you because they have no one to talk to at home. No one calls them. And I know they're lonely. But then they tell you they enjoy it, but I don't know about that. But anyhow, but I want us to ponder for a moment this leper in your text that we've just read. The profound effect that would take place on this leper. You see, the leper's situation was drear. Yes, most terrible disease in the day of Jesus. Greatly feared. It was disfiguring and sometimes fatal. You don't hear much about that any longer, about leprosy. But this occurred quite often back in biblical times. You know, in Luke chapter 5, 12, the Bible says here, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, now the he there is Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy. See, there's different types of leprosy. Back in the Old Testament, Leviticus 13 and 14, when one had leprosy, he had to present himself before the king, before the priest, and the priest would denounce whether or not he could remain within the camp. And then sometimes he had to go outside the camp and remain about 7 days and then come back before the priest again, before the priest would announce whether or not he was clean or unclean. But this says he was full of leprosy. Most likely full of sores, extremely disfigured, and his flesh eaten away by this terrible disease. The leper was considered utterly unclean physically as well as spiritually. He was not permitted to mingle with others. And in approaching people, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Leviticus 13, verse 45. He was banished as an outcast, totally ostracized from society. Yes, the leper's situation was bleak. He was judged as being dead. He was thought to be polluted, incurable by human means and imaginable. Now imagine being in that situation. Imagine the anguish and the heartbreak of the leper, being completely cut off from family and friends and society. Imagine the emotional and the mental pain. Just imagine the loneliness, his alienation, his emptiness, his hopelessness. Just imagine his helplessness and finally his desperation. And we don't know how long that may have lasted. The Bible says he was full of leprosy. More than likely, he was outside the camp, outside the city, the walls where all the fellowship was taking place for maybe years. This leper knew his outlook was bleak. It was bleak until he met Jesus. I've heard someone say one time when I door knocked, he said, man, I've heard about Jesus. He said, but there ain't no hope for me. That came out of his mouth. And I told him, oh, yes, there is. I don't care what you've heard in your life or who told you you didn't amount to anything or you would never be good for anything, but as long as you still got breath in your life, Jesus is here. Jesus can save you, my friend. The Lord is good and is nigh. All you have to do is surrender and give your life to him. You've probably heard something concerning the gospel. I know he has. Most people in this land have heard something. But then you have a lot who have been just dissuaded, who have just almost about given up. Those were the statements of hopelessness. He had given up. But I wanted to encourage him to come visit here at the congregation, so that we can embrace him and teach him the grace of God. Teach him the blessed gospel that we know about. The hope that we have. That there is a home waiting for you, my friend. You don't have to be in that hopeless situation. I told another man at his door, you don't deserve to be lost. You deserve to know the truth. And we're here to share it with you. Yes, sir. And so therefore, this leper knew something, because in your reading right here, The Bible says in verse 12, let's read that again. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him. Here was a desperate man. All else had failed. Every doctor in the land can't help you. That's a terrible thing when the doctor says, I can't do anything else for you. You got 6 months to live. You got 2 months to live, or whatever the time frame it might be. And some people are going to hear that. And as far as man's ability goes, there was no hope for him. But that, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, that Jesus had already been going about in various synagogues, healing divers sicknesses and illnesses and diseases, and rebuking unclean spirits to the point that his fame had went abroad in all the regions of Galilee. And more than likely, this leper heard something. Being in a dire, desperate situation, he probably figured, I got one more hope of this, one more chance to try to get this right. And there are those in his life who are on the brink of giving up. That's what happens to a person who are on the verge of suicide. You see, there's stone walls and bars, my friend. A prison does not make like someone's mind. You can't get in and they can't get out. And a person can be beaten down so bad by society, downtrodden and downcast, to the point where almost not even in their mind Jesus can help them. That's why that man said what he said that day. I'm without hope. But let me tell you what. I don't care how wretched you are, how defiled you think you are, how low you have stooped, the Lord can pick you back up. There ain't nothing impossible that the Lord can't do. And they need to be told that. And my friends, Jesus would be the one that he needed to meet. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus has a different type of cure. Jesus has the right antidote for man's problems. Yes, the master's touch on this instance brought about a different drastic change in this person's life. He would never be the same again. You know that when you meet Christ, you'll never be the same again. And those of us who have been in Christ for some years, if you just reflect, that's why I had you, just reflect back on where you used to be and where you are right now. You can't be the same. Not if the Lord has touched your life, there's no way you can be the same. You see, this is a touch that brings about a better hope, a change for a better outlook, my friends. Not if the Lord is in your life. So therefore, I want us just to consider for a minute this touch. You see, the master's touch can transform. That's what happened to this leper. Not only can it transform, but the master's touch can bring triumph in one's life. You know, so many people put so much emphasis on victory. People love victory. People love success. You feel good when you succeeded in something. But you know what? You haven't succeeded in a thing until a crisis in your life. Amen. Far as I'm concerned, without Christ in this world, you are a loser. You know what a Christian is? He's a three-time winner. He misses hell. He enjoys Christian life, and he gets to go to heaven. You know what a sinner is? He's a three-time loser. He's going to miss heaven. And doesn't enjoy the Christian life, and he gets to go to hell. That's the opposite. My friends, the leper is a representation of what every sinner needs, and that's the master's touch. That's what he needed. You see, the master's touch can transform. Look at verse 13. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Can you imagine this individual here to have been in that situation for such a long time? And now all of a sudden He's cleansed. Do you think his heart ebbed and flowed with appreciation? When you have been released from a situation that you could not release yourself. Know the song we sang, he paid a debt we could not pay. You see, some people are treated in this society as untouchables. Yes, some persons are so gripped and so enslaved, so depraved and so destitute, so different and deserted. Some are so down and out. Some are so helpless and so hopeless that they become untouchable to most people. You know who they are. We looked at some of them. We looked at some of these people and said, ain't no hope for him. And just walk away. Some of us have been like the Levite and the priest. We saw him beaten, downcast, and we look at him, and I hope somebody get to him. And yet, I belong to the Lord. My friends, even when the defiled wanders into the church assembly, oh yeah, I'm coming home now. Oh yeah, I've seen it. I'm coming home. When he wanders in here, and just because he don't have good clothes on, he don't smell good, he's been hard beaten out on the streets, maybe improper decisions, he's been cast out, he's been redeemed, no good. Maybe his family thinks he's no good. He's down on his last hope, and he sees the sign, the church of Christ. He comes in here, and everybody says, I'll get to you later. And everybody's doing this, walking away from him. One more part of you. I thank God Jesus didn't tell him, get back. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, I have been paid yet. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, I don't have time for you. The Bible says he reached forth and touched the untouchable when everyone else wouldn't. Oh, he saw the best in me when everyone else around me only could see the worst in me. You've heard that song. And oh, how that's true in this instance right here. I'm glad that our Lord had a heart of compassion, but I am poor and needy, the Bible says. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me that thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying now, oh my God. Psalm 40, verse 17. The master's touch has the power to transform. Yes, why? What was it that caused Jesus? He knew how everyone thought about this man, he knew this man's untouchable situation, his defilement. Yet, through all that, he touched him. Let me tell you something. When you come to the Lord with a contrite heart, yes, and you're poor in your spirit, and you finally recognize you need him. You see, a sinner will never come to the Lord unless he understands and knows of his need. Did you know that? That's the whole purpose of preaching the gospel, is to help them to see in the wretched situation that they're in. You see, when you heard the gospel, you saw how undone you were, like I did. You saw how unwretched you were. You saw all the stuff that you had done that you'd hope nobody else found out. All that stuff you done in the secret. You see, your spiritual garment is defiled. Don't think you're no different than that leper. Because if you're not in Christ, you're just like the leper. Amen. You're not in fellowship with God. Thank God when the gospel came, you had a chance to make things right. You had a chance to be redeemed. I like it when the Bible says, and your iniquities will I remember no more. I can think of some things I've done. Ooh, I don't want that brought back up. A lot of us can think of some things you've done. Maybe no one else knows, but you know. You want your garment cleansed. You see, it's going to take more than Ajax, more than Tide and Gain. You're going to need the blood of Jesus. Get your garment right, brother. And the only way you can get that is through obeying the gospel. The Bible says, and he touched him, and immediately that leprosy departed from him. The leper was now healed physically, spiritually, watch this, and now sociably. Oh, what a beauty to be brought back within the fold, to be able to socialize once again with the family, those he had been separated from for so long. The touch that transforms, it changes our association. Obeying the gospel will do that, my brother. For those who are visiting, you may have not obeyed the gospel. The Bible says, as I think about the church at Ephesus, remember them? They were Gentiles. You know, Gentiles at one time, after the cross, were not in a covenant relationship with God. They were in this God having no hope. That is the predicament of everyone who has not put Christ on in baptism. He says, but now in Christ. You like that? You know, a key preposition in the book of Ephesians is in. In. You see, you're not out. You're in. You have a lot of people who are on the out, like that leper was. Now he's back in. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, you see that? Far off. Those who have not given their life to God are far off. Are far off and are made nigh, here you go, by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. You see, the master's touch can transform and change our association. You see, the Bible says, and that he might reconcile both, that's the Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2, verse 16. Where does reconciliation take place? In the church. I got news for you. And you read this to some people. It says, in one body. One church. Because see, as you learn more of the Bible and learn more of the book of Ephesians, if the whole book of Ephesians is about the church. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. See, you learn that in Ephesians chapter 1. When you get to Ephesians 2, you learn that it was by Christ that all men are reconciled. That means to be brought back in the favor with God in a great relationship in one body. Watch this. By the cross. Because it was at the cross Jesus shed his blood and purchased his bride, the church. Let's put this all together. And so therefore, your association changes. Paul later in that same chapter says, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. I like that. And foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's another designation for the church. The household of God. You see, not only does it change our association, but this church changes the mindset. The touch that transforms. You see, one time our mindset was not in harmony with God. As Paul told the church in Colossae, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. Guess who he's telling that to? He's telling that to Christians. See, he's speaking in the past tense. At one time, you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. The very idea of alienated dislikes God, distant from God, dislike what God has to say, unattached due to indifference, doesn't want God in his life or her life. And the word enemies ignores him, curses him, mocks him, denies him, disobeys him, half-heartedly serves him. At one time, you know, in your life, you may not have had time for God. Don't bring me this Jesus stuff right now. I ain't got time. I'm still trying to sow my wild oats. And something drastic had to happen to you to knock some sense in your head. And you finally realized that when the gospel came, you obeyed. All of us have been down that road. Unfortunately, sometimes some of our younger people feel like you have all the time in the world. Yeah, that God, Jesus stuff sure sounds good, but I got something else I need to do. But let me tell you something. You're not promised to be here tomorrow. I don't care if you're 15, 18, or 20, 25. I know we feel like we're invincible, but the young ones are leaving here just as fast as some of the older ones, especially in this day and time. Brethren, my friends, young people, you better get it right before it's everlasting too late. Because if you're not right with God when you leave here, you will be accountable to him and you will give an account for everything you've done in your body. This world is not that cold, brother. Young people, don't think of this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto. My friends, you can avoid a lot of pitfalls out here by giving heed to God's word. You see, there has to be a change of the mindset. As Paul told the church at Philippi, now let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind is that? I tell you what kind of mind it is. Watch this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. There it is. You see, there has to be a change in how we think. I might have been number one at one time. I'm the man. You can't do nothing with me. But now, when I saw how wretched I was, I bowed down and prostrate to the master of my life, and now he's number one. Paul John said, I must decrease that Jesus may increase. What is Philippians 2 all about? Humility. It's about humility. Something a lot of times we struggle with. See, as Paul told the church at Rome, as they was to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, which was their reasonable service, Paul goes on to say, now be not conformed to this world. You just came out of the world. Stop trying to be like the world. We're not trying to be like the world any longer. We're supposed to be holy and sanctified people. That's a difference. That's what God did. He called you out of that situation. That was the situation that had marred your garment. And now that you've been cleansed, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There it is. You see, the master's touch can transform the way we think by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Now, we're in the business of proving something, brother. Oh, yeah. I can prove to you I ain't got to go to a club to have a good time. I thought I was having a good time. Those of us who know about that nightlife and that all that other stuff out there. See, that's why I can't nobody tell me nothing about that life out there. I already know about it. That's in the past. The life that I now live, it doesn't get any better than this. Amen. Trust me. That's what the Lord wants you to know. Come, the Lord says, come ye out from amongst them. He says that you prove what is good and the perfect will of God. You see, brethren, the touch that transforms causes one to change his mindset from worldliness to spiritual mindedness. And you can read that in Romans chapter 8, 1 through 8. I don't have time to go through that, but take time to read that sometime. That's what it's all about. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the Spirit. Yes. There has to be a renewing of the mind. But not only does the master's touch transform us and our association, but the master's touch also can bring triumph. You know, we like victory, don't we? I talked about that earlier. We like to succeed in things. And to a point, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong if I take Wendell out here on the street and beat him running down the street. There's nothing wrong with that. Even though I'm a little bit older than him, there's nothing wrong with that. I thought I'd pick on Wendell for the moment. But y'all know that ain't going to happen. Because if I took Wendell out there and started running, you might as well have the ambulance out there waiting. Because I will be at the Riverside Hospital to see emergency with tubes hooked up to me. All right. I just throw a little joke in there just for a minute. But anyhow, you know how we all like, you know how men are. We just competitive. Some of us think we're still competitive. In your mind you are, but your body will tell you something different, won't it, Charles? You know the difference. But anyhow, the master's touch can bring triumph in our lives. Think about the triumph that the leper just now witnessed and was a part of. A desperation, a situation otherwise was hopeless, and now he's victorious. So much the Bible says, look at here, Jesus told him in verse 40, and he charged him. Now we're going to get into that just for a minute. Tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Watch what it says in 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. You know that brother was happy. I'm saved. I'm right with the Lord. That's right. I'm saved. You know how somebody, when people get baptized and they come out of that water, they're happy. I'm happy. That's a good day. It's good to rejoice knowing that your sins are forgiven now and God has set you free. Aren't you glad? Think about the day when you obeyed what God has done for you. Yes. It is a touch that restores. He was restored not only, but you know what? That leper came asking more than just to get rid of his physical ailment. He said, canst thou makes me cleanse? You know what he's really asking? I want to be restored back in fellowship with God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. And now after obeying the gospel, we've been returned back unto the bishop and the shepherd of your souls. Amen. You see, we belong to God. Amen. God wants us to come back. God wants all men to come back. The Bible said, for you see, the master's touch brought this triumph to his life. All through the gospel accounts, we can observe the very frailties of man. The touch of triumph helps man to overcome his problems, just like this leper. How about the man of palsy in Matthew 9, 2 through 8? How about the crippled woman, Luke 13, 10 through 13? How about the blind man, John chapter 9, 1 through 7? The master's touch brought victory to each and every situation mentioned. But those were physical. But ultimately, the master's touch brings triumph to one's life because he has the power to loose man from his greatest problem, and that's sin. Your greatest problem is not the toothache you have, or the knee ache, or the backache, or any other ache you can come up with, the headache. No, our greatest problem is sin, and that problem needs to be dealt with. For the wages of sin is still death. That's something you earn. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse 23. Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that he can't save, or his ear too heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated you between you and your God, and that he has hid his face from you, and that he will not hear, brethren. You can't live a life of sin in the dark and expect to go in prayer and hope that God blesses you when you know deep down in yourself that you're going to continue in that practice. Your prayer's in vain. Somewhere in there you need to repent to get back right with God. It is a touch. That is a touch of triumph. That leper was at his last end, and he came with a sincere heart, and Jesus saw it. Just like the thief on the cross. What a way to go out. I've been dimmed to condemn on the cross, and there I am right there before the master. And though Jesus couldn't literally reach over and touch him, but he touched his life before he left here. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a way to go out. Just before his legs were broken. And he did leave here. My friends, the master's touch brings triumph in one's life. Man has no answer or solution for the sin problem. Only the Lord. You see, for the law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul, and the testimony is sure, making wise the simple. 19:7. The law is perfect, brother. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Obeying the gospel is the answer to man's problems. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the answer. After you hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, there's the answer. That's not the answer that the denominational world is giving men today. And that's why the master has not touched their lives. You've got to hear the right answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It is the master who gives us the terms and the conditions. Forgiveness of sins takes place in the mind of the master, not in the heart of the sinner. The law of the Lord is perfect. A victorious life, my friend, begins in Christ. Yes, it does. It's not about obtaining world fame and prestige. There are a lot of people who are famous out here in this world, and you hear about them each and every day, but look at their lives. So marred by sin, not in a relationship with God. You know they're not in a relationship with God. Just think about their practices and those things that they condone, which are so contrary to God. My friends, victory begins in Christ. It can bring triumph, helping us to overcome, watch this, self and the world. You see, Jesus, Charles, came to save you from you. There it is. Jesus came to save Maxwell from Maxwell. And Lord, we all need it. Because, Lord, the Bible says in Jeremiah that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his own step. Man does not have enough light in himself to direct himself in this world. That's why he has made such a shipwreck of everything that he's involved in. But Christians, when we come out of that world and we come back into the fold, we get taught, we get trained, and we learn how to live a victorious life. Paul said it best when he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does all that mean, Paul? That means I have died to self. And now Jesus is occupying my home. That's what that means. You see, it's not enough to have Jesus just be the guest of your house. You see, when you have a guest, you let them stay there a while, then you tell them you got to go home. You can't stay here any longer. Jesus needs to be a resident in your life. He needs to live at the same address you live in, so that when someone comes and see what's in your house, they'll know that you've been associated with it. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, this touch of triumph can bring a change in our life that we can be victorious. How does that happen? Personally, it will help us to overcome adultery. Somebody's like, what? I just can't believe that's going on. Yes, it is. It happens in the Lord's church. It's amazing to me. You have people sitting in the pews and you hear sermons and lessons on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and yet you're in that predicament and won't do anything about it. Let me tell you, like the leper. And I'm not going to go into a long discourse on that. Just read Matthew 19:9. Some people have a hard time with that. Not going to get into that. But you know, God doesn't even like putting away. That's why you need to be careful when you get married. You need to be careful whoever you marry. Make sure that when you marry, make sure that's the one you want. Because you're going to spend your life together for the rest of your days on this side of eternity. And in the mind of God, God will enjoin. And whatsoever man, whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder or take apart. You see, the touch of triumph will help us to overcome adultery, fornication, envying, jealousy, strife, contentions, lying, stealing, hatred, drunkenness, divisions, and I can go on and on. My friends, that should not be amongst us. As children of God, we've been sanctified by the word. That means set upon. Our marriages should improve. Our family relationships should improve. Our fellowship with our brothers should be improving. Our compassion for the lost ought to be improving. Yes, the touch of the master's hand can bring triumph, ultimately even in death. I know someone right now, they're dying. They work with me. And you know what he said out of his mouth? I'm not into that God thing. That's what he said. He loved to tell little dry jokes. Some of them jokes are so dry, you almost don't get, you need to go get a drink of water yourself. But unfortunately, he's like some of those lepers back then. You know, every leper didn't come to Jesus. Not all lepers came to him. But thank God this one did, and several others. You see, you don't realize your disposition, your predicament, until you come to reason correctly that there is a God, and God does exist, and God is going to hold men accountable in the end. Now, right now, he's almost dead. He's in the hospital. His wife called to him the other day, don't call the house, don't come by. She wants to spend her last moments, but my friend, he is in a precarious in bad situation, because now he can't obey. It's too late now. And somebody might be, how do you know that? Because I know him. And I know how he thought. You see, not everyone's going to heaven, brother. Amen. The Bible says, strive in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many there be go therein. The majority are going to be lost in the end, brethren. Make sure that's not one of us. Let's drive ye there and at that straight gate. You know that straight gate is difficult. You know why it's difficult? Because you got to say no to self. That ain't easy. You've been saying yes to self all your life. And somewhere in there, you got to give up and surrender to Jesus. And the leper had to surrender. He had to finally give up. That was the only means to be released from his predicament. The master's touch ultimately, watch this, can bring triumph in the face of death. You know, if you're right with God, you'll be all right. You ever seen somebody who's a Christian that's faithful and they're getting ready to go and then they tell you, don't worry about me, I'm going home. You see, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. You hear it? Don't become so attached to this world. As Paul said, for the world is crucified unto me and me unto the world. That's what happens when the touch of triumph is in your life. That's what it means to live a victorious life. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. You don't have to fear death when you're right with God. You know, that's a good thing when you're right with God. You don't have the weight of sin on your conscience. You see, baptism also does now save us. Watch this. Not putting off the filth of the flesh. Listen to it. But it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. The main thing is to have your conscience clear before Almighty God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But last but not least, the master's touch can instill genuine trust. You know, this leper may have trusted no one. Everyone has let him down. Everyone has given up on him. And then finally he meets Christ. And Christ gives him hope. And then in that hope, he charges him, now go and tell no one. You see, emphatically they're saying, now go and sin no more. You've heard that before? He told the palsy as he released him from his condition, now go, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. That's what he told him. He told the adulterous woman who everyone had given up on, who had cast down, had thrown, was ready to throw stones. And Jesus told her, now go and sin no more. You see, he's a God that gives us another chance. Yeah, you might have messed up. That's what I was trying to tell that man that day. You might have messed up, but right now, right to this day, today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God can clean you up and set you right and allow you to work in his kingdom. And brother, we need to let people know that so that they don't sit around with us with marred faces thinking there ain't no way, there ain't no hope for me. Yes, there is. For the God of hope fill you. Listen to that, brother, with all joy and peace and believing. Yes, he's the God of hope. And as long as you got breath in your life and you are able to obey, there's hope. You see, the master's touch can instill trust. God always wanted what was best for man. The leper's faith exhibit that wholly trusted in the Lord to cure his ailment. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, brother, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why so many don't come to the Lord when you try to teach them? They don't trust him. That's why. You show them clear what the Bible teaches and they read it, but that ain't what my pastor said. That ain't what he said. That's what God said. You see, do you trust your pastor or do you trust the Lord? Your pastor will not be the judge on judgment day. The Lord will. But that ain't what my minister said. That ain't what my pastor said. That ain't what the deacon said. But what does the Bible say? And if he ain't saying what the Bible is saying, you need to run. False doctrine will cost you in the end. You need to trust God in this matter. Most people don't believe this. Well, God told Moses, thou shalt not fall a multitude to do evil. Stop looking at what the most are doing and go back to the Bible. I just showed you and told you only a few going to find it. Get right. You need to be numbered amongst a few. Are you going to get it right? Then you're going to have to trust the Lord in this matter. And the Bible says, God has only had man's best interest. God wants all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of that truth. You see, brethren, it's not enough just to trust him to save you from your sin. And we know that that has taken place. And that's great when that happens. But you see, you need to trust him to be the Lord of your life. All right. I've heard enough preaching for today. That sure was great. I'm getting out that door. Come on, man. What you want to do now? You know how you are, some of us are. That's right. I've heard enough for today. You see, it's not enough. You need to make him the Lord of your life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. You see, there's the fellowship. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have also overcame and am now set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 20, 21. Do you trust him? My friends, those visiting, you've heard the gospel preached. Maybe you've been taught by someone here, and you're contemplating right now. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, you're like that leper at the moment. You're outside the camp. You're not in the fold of fellowship, in the household of God, in the family of God. You need to be cleansed. You need to obey the gospel and have your spiritual garment washed. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you do, then you need to repent. That's an internal resolve to turn away from the life that you're living and to make a decision to live under God. Are you willing to confess your faith, faith in Christ as the Son of God with your mouth before these witnesses today? And with that confession, then be baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your life. That's how you obey the gospel, my friends. Now, the religious world is not teaching that, but that's what's in the Bible. Jesus said, go ye out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? Do you really trust him? Trust that message and you'll be saved. Allow the master's touch to filtrate itself into your life today. Now, how about those of us who are members of the body? Have you allowed sin to mar your garment once again? Is there some sins you know that are in your life that need to be taken care of? If they're publicly, then publicly announce, confess those faults. And we'll pray on your behalf that God will forgive you of the thoughts and intents of your heart. If privately, go home and do it privately. Whatever your need might be, we hope and pray that you will come forth as we stand and sing.